Number 58 from San Jose State, out of Milpitas High School, Kim Boatcamper.
Well, this is a nice song, though, Woody. After you try to throw him under the bus again.
That's the end of the season.
All right, we go to Kim Boatcamper this morning, former teammate of mine, and probably glad to see this thing come to an end. Bo, good morning, man. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. You know what I just realized here, Joe?
What's that, Bo?
There's a connection between between Milpitas that your boy Hollywood is so infatuated with,
yeah,
right? And his nickname Woody.
Yeah, it's a good point.
There's some little coincidental in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Milpitas, Woody.
You know what, Bo? I'll have to check into that, but you might be onto something.
Fifth caller or not?
What's that?
Fifth caller?
Yeah.
Whatever you were giving away when I was waiting on hold?
Yeah, right.
Am I getting a free ticket to a Panther game or something, or maybe to whatever our MLS team is?
Hey, Bo,
am I getting a ticket for that?
Bo, whatever you and Mary want to go to, and we have, it's yours. You let us know, man, for sure. There is no question.
Do you tell Bo I'm joining him at F1 this year?
Oh yeah, you know what, Bo? I told him you liked F1 last year. You liked the experience.
I did like F1. Where are you gonna be sitting?
He's not going to be sitting where you were sitting. I know that. Hey, let's just say he's kind of walking around on the outside while you're sitting there.
Yeah,
you got a little different deal.
He's going to be peeking through the fence in Dan Marino Boulevard.
seeing if Marino actually pops by there. All right. So, hey, Bo, I got to be honest, and I've told everybody this more than once. Nobody takes – Miami Dolphin losses harder than you and O.J. McDuffie. O.J.'s right there now.
Yeah.
O.J.'s been known.
I
mean, he'll leave a pregame because he's so friggin' mad when we play like doo-doo. Your thoughts now? You've had a few days to rest off this last game.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting over it now. The one thing you look back, it was a great effort by those guys.
Great effort.
Down 17. Early in the game, and you're thinking, oh, man, here we go. This is going to be one of these, like, embarrassing walking out of the stadiums, like, with a, 52-7 game or something like that. But, the resiliency of the team to fight back, and I think it says a lot, too, about Mike McDaniel and kind of his coaching ability with these guys that really throughout, and he's talked about it, and Chris Greer talked about it in his, in their press conference or their conference afterwards. Is that, this team, with all the ups and downs, and they could have, at any point when they're in those couple losing streaks they had, they could have just, thrown in the towel, but they didn't, and they fought back, got into the postseason. So I think all that's good stuff for them. And I think, Joe, you remember back in the old days in the NBA when, the teams were, the Detroit Pistons were trying to get past somebody, and they couldn't get past whoever it was at the time. I don't know. And then, so then Detroit finally figures out how to win in the playoffs. And then they got Chicago. And Chicago's going against Detroit. And Chicago couldn't figure out how to beat Detroit and get past Detroit. And then they figured it out. And so I think the NFL is kind of that same type of thing. I think it's good for the Dolphins. I think we knew when they got in as a wild card and were going to go up to Buffalo, you kind of knew it was going to be a short-lived trip. But still, I think there's a lot to get out of that. It's a young team. Now they've got playoff experience, and I think I hope they understand that, having that game last week where, it was a national game, you're the only team on TV, everybody's talking about it, kind of strikes something in their football DNA that says, hey, I want more of that and I want to go further, So hopefully it's a good building block, because I think a good majority, Joe, of this team that has been, that have been effective players are going to be back. And I think we're going to have a pretty good base to begin with once they start accumulating players throughout the offseason, through the draft and free agency and everything that goes on, you know, when yeah. the madness starts here, whenever the league year starts.
Right, which is right around the corner, as you know. So I want to ask you this, and that has to do with Tua Tagovailoa, Chris and Mike going all in, like next year. We feel he can stay healthy. We're going to work on some things with him, but we're coming back with Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah. Still don't know. I don't know. I couldn't say for sure. Can you?
Nope. I don't trust him anymore. It's not his fault, but, you know, the concussion
everyone's talking, well, it's been 5 years since he's finished the season, right? And I don't think he's played a complete season in his last 5 years, you know, including his last 2 years at Alabama and, you know, and here. And people don't need to get up in arms. I mean, it's nothing about his character. He's a good kid. Good family, all those things going for him, but this is a business of winning football games. And Joe, I've talked to you, and I probably over and over again probably ad nauseum. You're probably sick of hearing me say this, but you know, even looking back at this year with Tua and what he did and the success he had, you know, give me a signature game that he won. I know you could say, okay, Baltimore. Okay, Baltimore was the first month of the season. Signature games come in November and December, in January. That's when the meaningful games count. Put a finger on a meaningful game that Tua won against a good football team when it counts the most. And I'm still waiting for that signature win from him. You know, so that kind of creeps into my mind also.
Bo, I want to ask you, expect the special teams coordinator and defensive coordinator to be back?
You know what? I'm going to kind of go in a different direction here. Seeing as how we've seen Mike McDaniel do things that are kind of bucking the trend, where a lot of coaches would – yeah, I mean, we've seen coordinators, you know, Byron Leftwich, like right after they got out, he's out, right? I mean, they wasted no time. And so – so, you know, I got a feeling Mike McDaniel may be a little bit more tolerant looking at these guys and looking at Josh Boyer and his, you know, his whole body of work with the Dolphins, maybe even looking back to last year and saying, well, look, you know, he had a lot of injuries. You lose Ogbah early. The secondary was in shambles within, what?
Yeah, not long.
The season.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't take long for that secondary that we thought was going to be great to completely crumble under the weight of injuries and stuff. And so, you know, I got to think maybe, you know, he's evaluating them in that way, as well as Danny Crossman, you know. You know, they've both had ups, but they both had some pretty big downs and some pretty, you know, issues that you can point to. But I think he may be a little more tolerant and may give those guys another run. I don't know. That's just me kind of trying to be psychologist with a guy that a football coach that I don't think anybody in this league has ever really seen the likes of in the way he goes about his business.
I know we got in the Teron Armstead, who when he plays is really good, but he misses, as you know, on an average of 4 to 5 games a year. Yeah. You just work around it, right? I mean, you got to go, okay, I hope I can get 13, 14, maybe 15 games out of him. We got to get a backup, and that's how we're going to play it.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and there's still some of those guys out there that you can look. I was, you know, Robert Hunt, putting him out there in the tackle position. I thought he handled himself pretty well out there. And you saw when they put those two guys over on that side, they started running the ball immediately over in that direction. So you got a little bit of help there. But if it's me right now, I'm saying, Tron, hey, you know what you need to do? You need to get in a hot tub every day. You just need to relax. You don't do anything crazy. Yeah. Don't get on a bicycle. Don't do this or that. Just get yourself as healthy as you can be going into training camp. And Joe, I wouldn't. You know, it's. You know, I would give you. You're gonna have to find some way to treat this guy with kid gloves. And here's the one thing I know about Teron Armstead. If you put him on a schedule that makes it, and they did it this year. I mean, he barely practiced during the season, but whatever you can do to have him ready for games, do, because I don't think he's the guy that's going to take advantage of it and do that. He, because he wants this guy. I saw him in game. I remember watching him in the game, the Jet game. I think he was on the field for maybe the first seven plays or something like that. And he came off the sideline, his toe, and I could see as soon as he was walking off, I could see in his eye, and then they go right to his toe, and he's sitting there, and he's like begging them to get back in, and they're going, no, you can't do it, you can't do it. So he's that kind of guy, and that kind of guy, you know, I know he's going to be ready to play. I know he's going to play when he's ready to play. They just need to find a way to stress away or whatever.
Yeah.
To get him to that 13 or 14 games. You know, you can't, you know, it's great having him in there, but for a 17 game schedule, when you've got him for seven games, you know, that's 10 games that you're kind of rolling the dice with whoever you're playing against. You get, you know, those ones, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's got to be handled with kid gloves, but I know when he goes in, he's going to give you everything he's got.
What part of the team? I mean, we got a ton of free agents, and obviously a bunch of guys coming back from injury that are really good football players. But we got a second round pick and a couple third round picks. Where would you go in the draft where you need immediate help? What part of the team would that be?
I would like to just get another stud that can play. You know, that you can just line up there on the other side and just play, right? And not have to worry about him and not have to shuffle guards to tackle and all those kind of things. And I know I talk about Robert Hunt, but I just think, to me, that offensive line needs to be addressed at the tackle position going forward.
Mm. Well, so that leads me to the second part of this. Eichenberg and Jackson – injured, yeah, and didn't play very well for the most of the time when they did play. So how do you evaluate? They're two high picks, and I'm not picking on it's not a shot at the GM or anything, but what do we do going forward? They're coming back. We got them on the cheap in the middle of their contracts. What do you do?
Yeah. Well, I think my guess would be that the future bodes more positively for Eichenberg. I think they kind of like him in that guard position. And then, you know, once he was able to get in there, they got him in there pretty quickly. I think they like him. The other guy, Austin Jackson, I'd be more concerned with his heart than his legs. Let me put it that way, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I think I understood. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I'm trying to throw a softball in there.
No. You're just that was a weird one, man. Played two games, and went on IR twice. That's a frustrating one. Well, hey, listen. So much for that. Let's talk about Bo Campers. We got some really, really good games Saturday and Sunday. And man, sometime between lunch and dinner to get to a Bo Campers location to watch what is going to be some really fun games. Bo, what's going on?
We got all kind of playoff specials, and I tell you what, this is my favorite time of the year. We kind of got nipped in the bud in that college championship game after people started flooding out of there in the first quarter after it was about 31-0. So that didn't do any good for us. but all these games, look, if you look at the games that were played last week in the NFL, and look at all the finishes in those games. I mean, they're exciting. So we've got four of them this weekend.
Four.
Two on Saturday, two on Sunday. And I tell you, those places are going to be rocking. And we're doing playoff specials. We've got specials on wings. We got happy hour prices all through the game. We're doing all kinds of specials. And so, and of course, you're going to see all the best. You're going to get the opportunity to see. You're not going to miss a play. I can guarantee you that. Unless you got some honey over in the corner somewhere where you're trying to canoodle with a little bit over there on the sly. I don't know. But, you know, and those things do go on around there, Joe. You know that.
Yeah,
right?
No question. Yeah, no question. There are guys that are one eye on the game and one eye on – yeah, in. Yeah, no question.
There you go. But that's all right. That's what it's all about.
Nobody said you can't meet a fine lady at Bo Campers, man. I know what you're saying. There's no question about it.
Right.
And so, listen, the chicken wings, always great. Those ice cold beers, it really is a fun time. If you haven't been to Boat Campers in Miramar, in Plantation, and up on Oakland Park, if you like to see the people getting off their beautiful boats right there next to the water, man, just great locations to go to.
If you're a beach goer, you can go to Bowes Beach and walk right over there, leave your girlfriend out on the beach, or maybe she leaves you out on the beach and comes over and watches the games for a while. Then you can just head back over, you know?
Oh, big hit. Big hit with my daughter, that place on the beach, man. Big hit over there. Bo, thank you, man. Appreciate it. You take care.
All right.
Have a good weekend. All right. Kim Bo Camper joining us. Talk a little bit about everything, including his Bo Camper's restaurants. We got to go to break. Mike Renner, lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, will join us in this 8 o'clock hour. And Drew Rosenhaus will also join us coming up in the 9 o'clock, early 9 o'clock hour. We got a lot to talk. Since he represents like a third of the team, I'm exaggerating a little bit. He got a lot of guys. A lot of Miami Dolphin players represented by Drew Rosenhaus, so that's going to be coming up early 9 o'clock hour. And then there's another guy named Michael Kotze. He's not coming on, but he is Choice Mortgage. And I love telling everybody he wants to help you. And when the banks take a long time, you're trying to get equity out of your home, and you're going, oh, my God, how long is this going to take? And it's a slow process. He can do it in half the time. Then on top of that, when the banks say, no, we're just dealing with perfect people, well, Michael Kotze's got a lot of creative ways to get it done for you. Always working. And if you have equity in your home and you really need that money, you're upside down and stressed out for whatever you need that cash out of the home for. Cash out for high insurance costs, cash out for debt consolidation, cash out for IRS, property taxes, liens, judgments. It's going on, man. It's just it's happening to a lot of people. And if it's got you stressed out, call Michael Kotze and get it done. And by the way, if you're over 62, I got another great idea for you. If you have equity, talk to Michael Kotze about a reverse mortgage and how that can help you long-term as well as short-term. And all the benefits of the reverse mortgage. Michael Kotze, one of his many specialties. And even if you don't have great credit or you have a hard time proving your income, don't lose hope. Michael just rolled out his no income verification program, and it has been a big, big hit. I want to give you a cell phone number. I want you to call him. Covers all of South Florida. Been doing it for more than 30 years. He's ready to go. 561-441-2730. 561-441-2730 for Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. NMLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Equal housing lender. All right, so Celtic tickets again.
Than that, we don't have any more. Then Len will have to go back to the box office and get more.
Yeah, go buy a couple.
Yeah.
Go to Game Time and get a couple.
Yeah.
So Celtics tickets still?
Yeah, so Alex Perez won the first one. So congratulations to him, to Alex. And, we got another pair to give away. So I don't know how you want to do this here. What are you thinking? Good tickets. Big game.
Let's go caller number 6.
So you should throw a random number? All right.
Yeah. Let's do caller number 6 for a pair of tickets. That's games on Tuesday, right, Woody? Is that Tuesday? That is
Tuesday, Celtics and Heat. January the 24th. That is correct.
Man, tickets hard to get, and Heat are starting to heat up, and the Celtics haven't cooled off. Celtics are playing really, really well. Got trade deadline early next month. See what everybody does, and there's already a bunch of speculation on a bunch of different names out there. And you just know Pat Riley's going to try to get involved. You just know Pat Riley's looking at this whole thing, even though the team is playing better now, 25-21 after their Pelicans win last night. 7 players in double figures, 70 points in the first half, and bam, with 11 of 15 for 26 points. really, really good in the paint last night. So a lot of good things. They don't get a lot of wins like that, so that was a nice one, 124 to 98. We've got a lot of stuff coming up here this morning as Mike Renner, lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, will join us coming up here in about 9 minutes from now. We'll talk to him, and Drew Rosenhaus will join us early 9 o'clock hour. Got a lot of football news that we have to try to figure out on things, and so Drew will help us out with that in college football, because all the NFL agents are now in the NIL and the marketing business. All of them are there as well. So that's part of what's going on. The portal closed up last night, closed up until May, and the Miami Hurricanes, 19 transfers. That number will grow, by the way. It'll be closer to 25 when it's all said and done. They have added 7 transfer portal guys to the team as well. And we've got one more, as you probably know, early February. We have a National Signing Day Part 2, and Hurricanes hoping to grab a couple of guys for that as well. So it was a great question earlier that Woody brought up for the Miami Hurricanes football team and your expectations for year two. Especially with Van Dyke back, big getting him to come back. I'm still not 100% sold that the coordinator's going to be back. So for those of you who are just wondering, I am not sure. I'm not sure he and the head coach are on the same page on what they want to do. But they've got a lot of really young, talented freshmen coming in that are really they got a pair of tackles that look like they're going to be big-time players, but there's going to be some growing pains. I don't know how quickly they start. I don't know how quickly they're going to play. And they've added – got a bunch of pass rushers, bunch of really talented, raw, young pass rushers. So, you know, a lot of guys are going to – and if it's like I think it is, some guys will play early in the season. Probably more of them will play later in the season, and I hope it's – a better overall product, but there's going to be some growing pains throwing in some of these young guys that are 4- and 5-star players that help make up this great recruiting class that Mario has right now. It will not be easy, and it's not going to change overnight in a big, big way. I could sit here.
Well, it will change overnight in a big, big way. Joe, they're going to be significantly better than they were last year. They have to be. I mean, look at some of the losses last season.
I think they will be better, but people that are going 10-2, 9-3, I think you're a make-believe world.
So they're off by a win or two? Eight wins?
Would you take 9-3 right now? I mean,
yeah, after last season,
would
yeah.
Would you take
8-4? I'd take anything in a positive direction that got you into a bowl game and potentially won a bowl game. I think they have to make, you know, baby steps, but like –
The other thing
the ACC,
is,
they're,
you can't get
blown out.
Who are
the world beaters in the ACC?
Well, they're
right
not.
Now you're
that's,
so afraid
that's
of that.
The,
that's like
nobody. The Clemson.
Yeah.
But you've had
and FSU's turn it around a little bit.
FSU might be the second best team in ACC right now, or third best. You're right. That's no longer we go there and get a win. That's not. They have got it rolling right now off after their improvement. And by the way, it looks like they have loaded up in the transfer portal, including one of our best players, a defensive tackle. We got to go to break. We've got a lot more stuff to get to here. Mike Renner, lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, going to join us when we come back. But
tickets are gone. I just want to let people know tickets have been given away. Congratulations to Abel. He got the tickets. So
good. Good, man.
Just want to make sure people still calling here. So.
Yeah. You're
Thank
done.
You for trying. We're going to have more tomorrow.
You got more tickets tomorrow?
I think so, possibly. You want me to double? Should I double?
No,
check?
I don't want dead air.
I talk while we chat.
All right. So right now, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. Man, we got one hot SUV family to tell you about, the Tahoes and Suburbans, and their brand new look and more space that they added back in 2021. It continues, man. It continues with the new ones. And the midsize SUV, that Traverse, does not feel midsize when you see the space. If you're like me, I love driving my Tahoe. I want to be comfortable. More than anything else, I want to be comfortable every time I drive. On the freeway, if I'm going anywhere on the weekends, I want my Tahoe going with me. It's my best friend. Doesn't say much about my wife and my relationship right now. How about the midsize SUV, that Traverse, man? Plenty of space. Oh, my gosh. And the smaller SUVs, Trailblazer, the Blazer, and Equinox. So much style and substance. Just counts on what you feel most comfortable driving. And the Silverado truck family. Man, you talk about our big sellers right now. The Silverado truck. We got so many different style trucks. New and used in really good shape for you to get exactly what you need for your lifestyle. Whether it's a full-time working truck, part-time working truck, still need to have that extra space for that family of yours, we've got them all for you, man. And the new Corvette, don't try to get it. Matter of fact, I don't know if you can get the Corvette we just came out with a year ago. But, man, are they nice. Oh, what a teaser that is. Along with a Camaro. Bottom line is this. These are the best overall products your South Florida Chevy dealers have ever had. And as more news start to come in, we are all fired up here in South Florida with convenient locations in Dade, Broward, and Monroe County. Find new roads and fall in love today at your South Florida Chevy dealer. All right, man, this pro football focus thing is growing. It is pretty amazing to watch what they've been able to do over the years. And Mike Renner, big part of it, lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, joins us this morning. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Nope, great to have you. And really enjoy the stuff you're doing with the NFL Network. It's been great. Hey, by the way, and I'm jumping around on you, we spend more time like a lot of NFL cities going, how can all these high-paid general managers – with these big budgets and all these people that help them evaluate talent, continue to whiff on NFL quarterbacks in the first round. And now we got Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, and Anthony Richardson from Florida. And I'm scared to death. I'm almost scared to death of all of them. How do you feel about this group?
I think it's a very good quarterback class. Now, I don't think it's as good as 2021, and I think, like, next year is getting hyped up. I think next year is going to be a special class, too. But to me, it reminds me maybe of, like, the 2020 class then, where I don't think anyone thought Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, and Jalen Hurts was, like, a special group by any means. But we're looking back 2 years now and, like, four high-level starters out of that group. So I think this class could end up like that. I'm a big fan of this class. It's definitely a far cry from what we saw a year ago.
Right. So let me ask you, if you don't mind, just to take it at, I'm not big on small quarterbacks. Bryce Young is athletic. I know he's got a good arm, but he's a little small. It scare you as far as taking him first overall?
It does, and there's a reason to not be big on small quarterbacks. Like, you have to change your offense for them, and they even did that at Alabama. Like, those guys can't run quick game stuff. You can't have them do normal drop back passing stuff. You watch his tape at Alabama, he's setting deeper in the pockets than, you know, the vast majority of NFL quarterbacks, just so he can see over guys. Like, that's a big part of the position, is, you know, being able to operate when things aren't great and offensive linemen are getting walked back in your face. And when you're 6'5", 6'6", you can see over those guys, and it's not as big a deal. When you're 5'11", 6', you have to break the pocket in those scenarios. You can't operate in those tight pockets. So, yeah, it's a big thing. It's going to impact how you scheme and how you basically run your offense. But I think we've seen enough track record now that you can still run a high-level offense. We've seen that time with Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, obviously Tua Tagovailoa too, who's in the same bucket, that I think there's enough track record that it's still a guy I'd go to bat for number one overall.
I was going to ask you, is he number one overall for you then? Is that what you're saying, or is there somebody else could sneak in there?
He's number one overall for me. I don't think it's really a debate, in my head at least.
Okay.
I feel evaluator is different.
Okay, so I want to ask you, because Tua, speaking of him, outside of the concussion, when he did play, he was pretty good. He missed a lot of games, and the concussion thing is a different topic. But what'd you think of Tua with Mike McDaniel this year overall?
I mean, it really was the perfect pairing. I'm a big fan. I was a big fan of Tua coming out. I even thought last year when things weren't great, I thought he was getting unfairly criticized. I thought his performance, given the circumstances, was very good for a second-year quarterback. And so when healthy is obviously the big caveat now because of how frequently he's been injured. But when healthy, one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL, plays with anticipation in an offense that, like, thrives on anticipation, thrives on accuracy and anticipation to get those guys yards after the catch, to generate those big plays. Yeah, the deep ball's not great. It's never going to be great. But I still think you have a guy who can, as we saw when he was healthy, lead one of the top offenses in the NFL.
Yeah. I saw your comments recently, and I can't disagree. San Francisco with the best skill position players in the NFL. And then you start looking at those two wide receivers, that tight end, and those two running backs with a rookie quarterback, and they have been really good, haven't they?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's why you can have a seventh-round pick look like Joe Montana out there for the San Francisco 49ers. It's because pretty much he's playing with the easy button pushed down on every single play in that, oh, you know, this guy's not open. Well, the second guy's wide open. You know, it's like they really do have a bevy of weapons there that even if you, you know, take away the top three, it's like, oh, Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield, check down, going for 15 yards. It really is difficult to stop. And that's, I think, why they went all in for a guy like Christian McCaffrey, is just that really give them so many options that offense really can't go into a lull.
Well, he was a great trade for the 49ers. Just seemed like the absolutely perfect guy, man. I just don't disagree. I got to ask you this. I've known Chris for a long, long time. Pro Football Focus, when it first started, it was kind of like the teams would fight back going, well, we don't give them those kind of grades. Don't pay attention to that. They don't know what we're trying to get accomplished. And now I hear general managers go, well, our pass rushers, 8 out of 10 of the categories needed, they were tops. We feel really good about our guys. So it's so much more now with Pro Football Focus besides receptions and tackles and sacks. It's amazing how it's starting to be accepted by the NFL, isn't it?
It's very cool to see, because I started right out of college in 2012. I've been there over a decade now at PFF. And I remember when we started out, we used to pass around like mentions in newspapers. If we were getting talked about in newspapers and they were using our stats and grades, now it's like an integral part of NFL and the scouting process. Week-to-week scouting, it's been very cool to see the evolution of it.
So let me ask you, on that stuff, do most of the teams, because all the writers use it usually a day or two after the game when guys play and it's a great game or it's a bad game, and they give grades to the guys that look like they struggle or were really good. Do you find the teams all use it now, everybody?
Yeah, they use it for advanced scouting. So they're not going to just take the grade and say, oh, this guy's XYZ. We have it integrated into their video system so they can watch those graded plays as kind of the value that they glean from it. So it's like, oh, if I want to go see all the good plays from a guy, I can go see all the good plays. I want to go see all the bad plays from a guy, I can go see all the bad plays. So that's where the teams really get the value from what we offer.
Yeah, it's overall, this draft class coming up here, and the Dolphins – with just a second-round pick and 2 threes, how do you like this draft class overall?
I think it's got some high-end talent at the top, but I think the positions it's strong at are not necessarily, I'd say, like valuable positions. I think it's an insanely good running back class. I think it's a very good tight end class, but like that's not really the positions you go to bat for in a draft that are going to be, you know, taken highly. So I don't think it's a good offensive line class. I think the DT class is kind of thin. Probably the only valuable position that I'd say it's a really deep class in is cornerback. So that could be something that's on the Dolphins' radar this upcoming offseason.
No, that's a good point. And by the way, the tight end thing. And speaking of that, what do you expect Mike Gesicki's value is going to be in free agency?
I don't know if it's going to be that high, because he may end up having to do like an Evan Engram type deal, just because he's a unique dude in that he's not going to offer much from a blocking perspective. And a lot of guys around the NFL or a lot of teams around the NFL that, utilize the tight ends on an every down basis or, you know, really have that feature in their offense, they need that guy to play in line and to block. So he may be a guy that just only has value to a handful of teams around the league.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. So I always say this. Listen, there's only one Kittle, and Mike McDaniel had him out there in his running game that was so good. And And I go, look, I just think anybody that lines up for the Miami Dolphins is never going to look like Kittle does with San Francisco. I think he's the best all-around tight end in football. Do you agree with that?
All-around, yes. You know, now, Kelsey's receiving ability is still
– No, I got you.
None. But yeah, all-around, it's really not a debate. He can do anything you ask him to.
So who do we like if we run through this right now? I think that Dallas-San Francisco game – is going to be a really good game. What are your thoughts and what do you expect?
Yeah, I love the Brock Purdy story, but I do feel like the magic has to run out at some point, and I think this is it. Like, this Cowboys defense is ferocious. We saw it last week. It made Tom Brady look like a shell of himself.
Right.
I mean, they had the most pressures in the NFL this season, I believe, that defensive line. They are just – they bring it from every angle, and I think for a young quarterback, that's going to be a difficult test, even with all those weapons we talked about. So, yeah, I'm leaning Cowboys in that one.
All right, and the other one here on the East Coast that everybody's going to be talking about, close in location to each other, Giants and Philly. What do you expect in that one?
I'm really worried about Philadelphia. Now, they're far and away the more talented team. Like, that's not even a debate. I mean, a lot of teams have been more talented than the Giants this year, though, and it hasn't mattered, but I'm worried about Jalen Hurts' shoulder. I'm worried about Lane Johnson maybe not going or not being healthy if he does go. Even still, though, it should be the Eagles. So my heart says the Eagles, but the Giants this whole year, man, I don't know how to explain it, but they've overperformed and keep doing it.
Mike, before I let you go, the other game, and we just played the Dolphins just played Buffalo. And for a second week in a row outside of kickoff returns, Patriots played them pretty even. I like Cincinnati in this game. What are your thoughts on Cincinnati and Buffalo?
So PFF's here in Cincinnati, and I've been on Cincinnati all year long, but losing Jonah Williams, losing Lyle Collins, if they're starting two backup tackles against the Bills' defensive line, and I know they don't have Von Miller, but still a good D-line, I can't go that far with Joe Burrow. I can't give him that much love to go behind a completely backup-filled offensive line and still beat this Bills team. So I'm going to lean Bills. If that's the case.
Yeah, I'm just really curious to see. You give the Jags any shot against Kansas City?
I do, just because Trevor Lawrence has, I think, joined that tier of guys that you're never going to count out. I mean, he's been the best over the last 2 months, like back against the wall, have to pass quarterback in the NFL. He's done it on like four different occasions, brought his team back. So I give him a chance, but Not a strong one. I give them a chance to cover. 8.5. I give them a chance to cover that, but I don't think they're going to win that game.
I always worry about the team that's got a week off coming out a little flat to start. Haven't played in a week, and I know they're rested up, but come out a little bit flat before they start rolling. Hey, Mike, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you coming on this morning.
For sure. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, Mike Renner, lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus. As we continue on here. Yeah, Pro Football Focus. Chris Collingsworth, baby, has just, wow, things taken off. Hey, we got a lot more stuff. Got 9 o'clock hour coming up. Drew Rosenhaus is going to join us coming up at 9:20. We'll talk to Drew, 305-567-0560. Check in on the text machine. Want to thank almost 4,000 people for jumping in on our poll yesterday. On our Twitter poll about was it a successful season or not for the Miami Dolphins. Really do. Real simple, yes or no. 63% said yes, it was a good season. Hey, speaking of feeling good, Chapman Partnership or Chapman Village. Listen, they're doing great work for the homeless down in Dade County. Two facilities down there. It's so much more. And listen, they send me a lot of stuff, but it's so much more than just a bite to eat and a bed and take a hot shower. It's so much more. It's about rehabilitation. It's about helping with mental health and all those things. The goal is within 3 to 4 months, whether it's a homeless family or individuals, to help them find a job, find a place to live, and get them back out on their feet. That's the goal. It's been an amazing amount of people that they've been able to help. And listen, every day this thing grows, it's getting bigger, more people, more men, women, and children are at the Miami and Homestead Center. So here's the deal. We need your help. We need your help every day with all the programs we have. More than 800,000 meals annually and close to $1 million in operating costs for breakfast, lunch, and dinner alone, serving three meals a day to 800 men, women, and children. So, hey, not only do we need financial help, but we're always looking for people that want to donate their time, get involved, make you feel so good. And if you could see it in person, whether it's Homestead or Miami, you'll see the great work that they're doing. It's a new year and a great way to kick off a resolution to help those in our community in need. So please join me at WQAM in 2023 as we help support families at Chapman, providing nutritious meals for their clients to create a sense of wellness in the community. Go online to chapmanpartnership.org/sponsor a meal to sponsor a meal and sign up to serve in 2023. Now more than ever, we need your help. Just a little bit with all the great programs they're doing and helping so many people with a second chance can change a life today. Be part of Chapman Village. Thank you so much.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.